Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I'm sorry, what did I say? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Did I get it right up there? All right. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Lord, help us see what you are saying by what has been recorded here. Open our understanding. And Lord, as Jesus said, help it to sink deep within us, that we might lay hold of this truth and benefit just as these believers in the first century. Grant us the grace to live by what we learned today. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Our subject for today then is run the race with endurance. Run the race with endurance. What we have seen thus far is that the book of Hebrews was written to believers who began their Christian journey with zeal, like most Christians do, and they were faithful, they were committed, right? They began this journey fully committed to the Lord, but along the way, they face not just little trials, but severe tests and trials. And they became discouraged. They began to get become unfaithful and uncommitted. And you may remember near the middle of Hebrews, it was so sad, and this pastor was so concerned that he warned them that they needed to be careful about their neglect of not assembling or falling away, because it can reach a point to where you continue to ignore God and you get beyond the point of repentance. You see? And so he warned them in Hebrews 6, you remember that it's impossible to be restored when you've come and tasted all of God's goodness and still fall back. You see? And so all of us, now for a genuine Christian, you know, he's not talking about losing your salvation. But you see, all of us need to be careful when you see yourself beginning to backslide. That's never good. And when you begin to sense yourself justifying, you know how we can do it. Justifying why this is okay. This one time, you know how we do it. Or then one time leads to, you know, another occasion, even if it's not consecutive, see. And so this pull back isn't something always that's just radical and immediate. It's gradual. And that's the way sin is, right? Subtle. And yet it's so can be so destructive. So these Christians needed encouragement. They needed it, and you and I need it, right? They needed encouragement. Hebrews 11 used the lives of these Old Testament believers to encourage these saints. That's what we've looked at these past weeks. These lives of people that were intended to provide encouragement for the readers in the first century. And here you and I are multiple centuries later, and we still find encouragement looking back on the lives of people that lived long, many, many generations ago. We studied the lives of men and women, young people, older people. These lives of people that endured severe testing, severe trial, severe difficulties of life, but they endured it by faith, right? By the Bible repeatedly, as it makes reference to these people in their lives, it says that they endured it by, they didn't just survive, they endured. There's a difference. They didn't just tolerate it, they persevered. They pressed on, right? And that example is there for them, for the ones in the first century, and for you and me to say, don't continue to make excuses. Don't continue to make excuses. And so we learned that we live by faith, and that when we live by faith and experience success or failure, and we have both, the Christian has to be careful not to get overly impressed with your success or overly discouraged by your failures. We're going to experience both, right? And so the Bible wants us all to be careful not to think more highly of yourself when you experience success, or don't think that everything, the bottom has fallen out just because you have experienced something that you never thought would happen to you. Right? And so we, as we looked at the lives of, and we saw these extremes, as we looked at the lives of people in chapter 11, some of the awful, premeditated harm that was inflicted on them, and the Bible would say of them that the world wasn't worthy of them. It's amazing. So it's like Jesus commended John the Baptist. To look at John the Baptist and his life, it looked like he was just an absolute disaster. But Jesus said that there's been none like him. None like him. So we learned that whether we experience what we might call success or failure, ultimately nothing compares to the promise that we have in Jesus. Amen. It's Him. Mm. He is the promise. Mm. He is the reward. Yeah. He makes it all worthwhile. You see? Even when I've had success, you think of it, Christian, what would success be without Jesus?
Well,
I mean, think of all of the successful people in the world. They don't know what to do with it. It ruins them. You know as well as I do. It's tragic to see these young mega millionaire athletes who in just a few years have ruined their lives.
Right.
Money doesn't help them, it harms it.
Yeah.
And so Christian, you and I have to always remember that success or failure without Jesus is a disaster.
Amen.
Failure without Jesus is a disaster too. Mm-hmm. You know, suicide and all of these tragic ends that come to people who don't know how to handle failure. But the Bible would say to the Christian, keep your eyes on, we're going to see this in a minute, keep your eyes on Jesus, because nothing compares to Him. All right. So, as we look at these two verses, I divided my thinking up this way. Verse 1, I call running the race. And verse 2, looking to Jesus. Running the race and looking to Jesus. So, this is a very straightforward sermon. All right? Let's look at it together. We are right away presented in verse 1 with three major issues when it comes to the Christian life. Let's read it first, and then I want us to think about these three issues that are paramount if we're going to have victory in living the Christian life. Verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Three areas that this pastor put before the first century Christians and that he puts before us. He's going to talk about the witnesses. He's going to talk about the hindrances. And then finally the race. Because what we have here is that the Christian life is portrayed as a race, right? It's portrayed as a race that involves witnesses. You see that in verse 1? He calls it being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, okay? And so, don't lose track of this. I mean, the athletic imagery you can't get away from. That's good. God wants us to think. The images help us as we apply the truth. That's the reason Jesus used so many analogies, right, with nature or with agricultural matter. He knew that people who saw it could lay hold of it, okay? And so right here, this imagery of an athlete is not to be lost, but recognize that the Christian life is portrayed as a race involving witnesses. Now, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but the Greek word for witness is martus, okay? And that's where we get the word martyr, okay? Martus. And so, but a witness, now don't miss this. A witness, though, is someone who testifies or affirms the truth, who testifies about facts. And so that's what you, unfortunately, you've got some commentators that view this imagery from a Greek arena. And so the witnesses are portrayed as being all of the spectators. No. Here, he said that these witnesses are bearing, these witnesses are actually bearing witness. You see, they're not standing around looking, they're standing around telling. They got something to say. Okay? So these witnesses are testifying something for those of us who are in the race. They ran it before we did. And so they got something to say to us. You got it? That's the imagery. And so, if you will, it's like, you know how they do at, a lot of the sporting events, at the Cardinal games and different ones, you know, they'll bring out some of the old greats, Ozzy and you know, different ones will come there. And the idea is they've done it. For all of the young guys, you'd be around the ones who already done what you were. They set the records, right? And so we got, you and I as Christians, we got, if you will, some of the ones who've already successfully done what we are, what you and I are attempting to do. You got the imagery? And so in chapter 11, the believers witness or testify to the readers that it's possible. Not only is it possible, it's indeed possible to live this life by faith, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of making it, you don't have to make excuses. You can persevere, right? And that's, again, when you look at some of the baseball, football greats, when they go, they all have problems, right? Injuries, family problems, all any financial problems, but they persevere. They're saying to all these young guys, you're going to have problems, but I made it. You can make it. Amen. That's what we got here. Is that these witnesses say that it can be done, regardless of your circumstances in life. So what you have here is real people provide real motivation. Right? God knows that. You see, that's the reason God... keeps his people in groups, whether they're small or large. He knows that we, you remember how Hebrews 10 said that don't neglect the assembly of themselves together? So that you can what? Encourage, motivate one another. You see, to love and good deeds. We need that. We need that. And so, hey, God is wise beyond measure. And it's when you can see the problem when you pull back. When you pull back, you're already discouraged. You think you're going to help yourself? No, it doesn't work that way. All right, you start sinking further.
and further in discouragement. So the Bible says, don't do that. Press on in there.
Yeah.
I know you feel like a mess. You may look like a mess. Press on in there anyway.
Yeah.
You serious?
Yeah.
Your whole situation is messy. Mm-hmm. Don't pull away.
Yeah,
you don't know. Everybody else is messy too.
That's right. All right.
That's all in there.
Yeah.
Well,
that's the whole point, you see. You start leaning to what?
No.
Your own understanding. And you miss out on the help. So these witnesses say to you and me, look at that. We'll see them in heaven, maybe. But I mean, they lived there thousands of years ago. You know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And here they are witnessing to you and me. This is amazing.
Amen.
And so don't you buy into this generation gap. You talk about generation gap?
Mm-hmm.
That's a generation gap.
That's
me,
right.
Me and you and Abraham? That's a generation gap.
That's right.
But the Bible uses him to say, mind yourself after him.
Right.
In the 21st century.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
Don't buy into this generation gap.
Amen.
So what do the witnesses say? You get this now. Get this. The witnesses say it can be done. Okay? That's the first thing. The witnesses, as we address Christian life, the witnesses say to you and me, it can be done. Secondly, then we have the hindrances. The hindrances in verse 1 are, when you think about a practical race. Now, by the way, the race he's talking about is not sprints. Right, not the little 100-yard dash. It's just the long. That's really. He said he wants you to finish. You see, is that how quick you are? And so he says that you need to get equipped to run the long race. And so a part of the problem is with athletes, and you see it a lot even today. Is that athletes, they don't want stuff that's going to cause wind resistance, right? So they get the fitting clothes on, and think of it. And that wisdom existed, hundreds. They didn't just come up with that in Nike and these guys and think they're so brilliant. That existed long before these engineers started using aerodynamics, and that God knew all that. Okay? And so bulky weight and loose items and anybody that's exercised, you know how it is. Things are banging against you, and all. It's an irritation. It's a distraction, right? And so that's the whole idea. These are hindrances, and so they hinder a runner when you got these kind of impediments. And so, likewise, as now he compares this to the Christian life, the Christian may have think about this. You cannot assume that only sin hinders you. See how he says, you need to address every weight and sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it? So there are things in our lives that are not sinful that keep us from running.
Yeah.
So, I mean, here you are as a runner, that's some obvious stuff that you just don't do.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know, but you don't just go out there with a parachute on, that's sinful. If you're trying to run a long distance race, you got a big parachute hanging out on your back. I mean, that's sinful.
Right.
But there may be some things that are not so obvious. You know, you got on boots,
that's right.
And so and you need to have on running shoes.
Right.
See, that's not as if you will blatant and sinful as a parachute, but that's still not wise.
Right.
You see, and so in Christian life, there are sinful and non-sinful hindrances that have to be addressed. And that's what he's going after, is that Christians have both, and both problems can hinder our spiritual progress. Now, some of you are familiar with the Greek word for sin, harmatia. And it's sin. Now, often some commentators refer to it as missing the mark. You know, in other words, God has the mark. His standard is set. And so anytime you miss the standard, that's sin. So sin is an action that is contrary to the revealed will of God.
God makes his will known, and when you miss it, then that's sin, you see? And so that shouldn't be confusing to anyone. However, and you know that sin hinders the Christian. That should, again, I don't have to convince Christians of that. But what you may not be aware of, and that's what this author is going after, is that non-sinful problems also hinder us. Okay? And these are things we need to think about that you may not see as a hindrance, like immaturity. Thinking that you understand something. Thinking you're right and everybody else is wrong. You see? This race has been set up for generations. But you got a better idea. I think y'all just crisscross lands. That's not sinful, but it's stupid. I mean, it's not wise.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? And so that's the whole idea here, is that there are non-sinful things that need to be addressed, like habits. Spend too much time doing this thing. It's not sinful. It's just not the best use of your time. You see? And so this pastor realizes that these first century believers have wound up in this place of being discouraged because of things like that. You're spending your time idle, or justifying why you're setting up for it today. Those kind of things. You know how we can do it. And then problems set in. You start picking up the on a practical level. You start picking up the weight because you don't keep up your regimen. You know how those things work. And so that's what he's getting after. It's the little bitty foxes, the little bitty things that begin to cause you problems when you get out. Now you say you've done this for 2 or 3 months. Now you don't jump out there and think that you can just go on and run with everybody. So that's the imagery that we've got. And Christian, God is saying to you and me that believers must, the only way you're going to know this is you got to take some time and sit down with God and ask him by the power of the Spirit to help you take an honest look at your life. And you remember how Paul said it in the first group, don't start comparing your life to somebody else. You see, don't start justifying by you doing so much better than this one or that one. That's not the issue. Because we're going to get to this in just a minute. The issue is how you are running, not how they are running. I mean, God's concerned about how everybody's running, but he's not wanting you to justify your situation because of somebody else. Right? So believers must carefully discern these distractions and sin. Now listen to me. It's both of them. We need help from the Holy Spirit to discern both of these problems in our life. Don't even assume that you understand all the sin in your life. Everybody feels like you've done some examination, but you're foolish to think that you've so carefully examined your life, you know all the sin in your life. That's a foolish Christian. That right? Not even I'll go further. That's an arrogant Christian that think you have so examined your life, you know your heart and your situation perfectly. Now there's some obvious things. He's not talking about that, but we have to spend time alone with God and ask him for help. This is not something that you just dig your heels in and say, you know how. I'm going to get practical. It's on a practical level, it's like a person that says, okay, I'm going to get in shape. I don't need nobody. And maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But
but not in the Christian life. In the Christian life, God doesn't have lone rangers working like that, thinking you don't need anybody. He wants you to get along with Him and let Him deal with you, and then He'll help you. He'll show you how to find help getting these things in order. And again, it's a one another. It's learning that we need. And see, for us, we're not competing against each other. We wanting everybody to win. But we just not wanting folks to fall behind. That's God's concern, is for those who fall behind. Okay? All right.
And so, by the help of the Spirit, then, you see how verse 1 reads? Surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. You got to lay it aside, okay? That's a picture, again, that's an athletic picture. Have you seen athletes getting ready for the race?
Right, they take off their warm-ups and those things, and they what? They lay them aside. You can't use that in the race. It might have been beneficial. Now, in our case, the imagery breaks down. God is not even saying these distractions are beneficial getting to the race. You understand?
But the imagery is that it's on you, so take it off because you're now in the race.
Amen.
If you think of it, from a practical level, it'd be like that athlete coming there, you never go back and get your warm up again. Because from that point on, you are what? You're in the race. You get it? So when we ask God for help to identify these problems, we say, Lord, I want to lay it down. I'm tired of, going around in circles, the same thing, I want to lay it down.
You get the picture? Amen. And so what's the message then from the hindrances? The message is that the hindrances can be overcome. Right? The message from the witnesses is that it can be done. From the hindrances, God is saying it can be overcome. And then finally, the last major area I mentioned to you in verse 1 is the race. You see that in... verse 1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The race, again, the Greek word is agon. It means a contest or a struggle where you have opposition, right? And so any athlete, particularly a runner, knows that you're going to have opposition. Even if there's not much wind, you've got resistance from the ground, from the road, from whatever path you're on. Even if you don't have a lot of wind going against you, you're creating resistance, right? You're moving and disrupting the very environment that's in front of you. That's resistance, right? That's resistance. And so, this is the race is a contest or a struggle where you've got opposition. Now, the race then is a realistic description of the Christian life that is demanding. The Christian life has agony and pain associated with it. It's misery. You remember that
it's not ESPN. You remember that old, it's the way the sports used to come on all the time. They show this athlete who was
World
Sports.
World Sports.
Yeah. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And that's what you have in the Christian life, is that there's this agony that goes along with it. Okay? And we shouldn't think that, and unlike that commercial, I'm not saying that just because there's agony, you've been defeated. It's just that it goes along with athletic activity, right? And for us, we don't get in the race thinking that all is going to be just peachy and rosy and fine. God says the very word itself means it's a contest where you've got opposition. We got a number one enemy who is determined for us not to win. Mm-hmm. And he has all kinds of fallen angels working with him, involved in people's lives and situations, creating opposition. But yeah. he cannot defeat us.
That's right.
God wants us to be aware that opposition is there, but I'm showing you how to win.
Yeah.
I'm showing you how to win. If you listen,
I'm showing you how to win, okay? And so, the Christian life, for the young Christians, and this is what I would say for those here, anybody that's going to hear this, the young Christian needs to know up front that I know there's a lot of theology that makes it sound like this is just the life is going to be wonderful, that I want you to come to Christ, and it is.
That's right.
The life is wonderful,
amen.
And you're blessed, mm-hmm. but there's problems all around there. Problems are attracted to you now.
All right.
Right? Because you now become the enemy of Satan.
Yes.
You got it? So the opposition intensifies, but you have, God says, I'm going to show you how to win this.
Mm-hmm.
See? That's the whole idea.
And so God himself, now here's, this is very important. You see that phrase, look at verse 1, run the race that is set before you. God has set the race before every Christian. What that means is that God chooses your race.
You know how the coach does? The coach takes a look at the players and they say, you're best suited for this, you're best suited, right? We all know how that works. God does that for his children. He says, you're best suited for this kind of lifestyle. You're best suited. And so, when you get saved, that's not your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's difficult, particularly for American Christians, because I don't like my will being violated. I can choose what I do. Well, you could before you came to Jesus.
Yeah.
But now he says, I chose you, and now I choose how you live.
Amen.
And I want you to find joy in it every day. If you submit to me, you'll have joy
Amen.
That you've never known before.
Amen.
That's what we're getting at here, okay? And so, look at this. God himself chooses the lifestyle for every Christian. And it doesn't matter whether it's filled with successes or failures on you, from your perspective.
Amen.
If you're doing God's will, it's victory, it's a success to him.
Yes.
Okay? And so, it's the life that's set before you. God knows which lifestyle is best for each Christian. The trials and difficulties, the agony, the problems, it's all customized for you. That's the reason we shouldn't be comparing to one another. Shouldn't be comparing your situation to somebody else's. Yours is designed for you. Run your race. You get it? You see what he's saying here? Then he ends it by saying, let us run with endurance. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? God expects every Christian to finish. The phrase run with endurance means run to the end.
Listen to me, Christian. God's plan was never for you to give up. Just because it took longer than you thought. God's plan was not for Israel to die in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up. Over and over they fussed, they complained, they wouldn't do what he said. He just reached the point and said, the spies, we can't do it, God said, that's it. That wasn't the plan, but y'all don't want what I got for you. You look at it and you think, we can't do this, God. Already said, I've told you over and over and over again, that's yours. You keep looking at it and saying, damn, it's too hard. God says, okay, you just go ahead and die.
Right.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
That's the issue of Trinity. And in our lives personally, you can't just keep thinking that this is what I want, this is how I want it. If you're going to miss it, you'll miss God's plan all together.
Amen.
All together.
Amen.
So God's plan is for us individually and collectively to finish. You got it? Remember how he said in Matthew 10? The one who endures to the end shall be saved. 2 Timothy 2, if we endure, we shall reign with him. And of course, you know the all familiar 2 Timothy 4. I have a fault, a good fight, what? Finish the race, kept the faith. That's the whole idea. God expects every Christian to finish. You got it? So what's the message from the race? The race can be won. Right?
Amen.
What's the message? The witnesses say it can be done. The hindrances say, God says about the hindrances, they can be overcome. And he says about the race, it can be won. That's the message.
Yes.
And he expects it. He expects it. No excuses. Let's stop making. Stop pitying ourselves. And it gets better. It gets better. You see, this pastor, that's what he was faced with. This was, now, you see, he's talking to people whose lives have become a mess because they became Christians.
Mm-hmm.
No job, no work, you see, no home. We read the list, living in dens and caves, no clothes, can't take a bath. Mm-hmm. You see, we're fussing because we can't get one little thing this way or that way. God says, they proved to you can make it. Mm. It can be done.
Yes.
You can finish. You can finish. Because how difficult it becomes, you can finish. I promise you, you won't die because you don't have medical insurance. Mm. Or you won't
Amen.
Die.
Amen.
You won't die before God's.
Amen.
Amen.
Time.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You won't starve to death because Medicare is, you know, this or Social Security. All those things.
Mm-hmm.
Stop wringing your hands. I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned. You understand what I'm saying? Don't be anxious about it.
All right.
Christian, we gotta stop. Mm. We gotta stop reacting like the world.
Mm.
It's just up and down. Look at the stock market. One thing happens and all the optimism there.
Yeah.
One other thing happens and all what's wrong, Christian?
Yeah.
That can't be our life. Up and down, up and down.
Uh-huh.
Oh man, it's gonna happen. Oh, it didn't. What? That's not.
Damn, bro.
That's not. I don't know if I'm gonna make it. God says, yes, you are.
Yeah.
See, that was the issue he was facing, and that's the issue you and I are facing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the issue we're facing.
Mm-hmm.
And see, some of you don't. You think you're looking on the outside. It's happening in everybody's house.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got issues. Right?
Amen.
Everybody. And so God says to everybody, this is my plan. If you're a Christian, this is my plan for you.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this is the good news.
Yeah.
This is the good
Amen.
News.
Amen.
Can be done. Hindrances can be overcome. And God says, we can win. We can. And then lastly, we got the topic, I call it looking to Jesus. You see that in verse 2? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Now, here's the thing. Distractions and hindrances are a result of what you're looking at. Right? When a runner is in a race, if you don't careful what you start focusing on, you're going to be distracted easily. You find your mind, you see your mind start. It's amazing, isn't it, how Jordan A.J., one of them mentioned billboards before. It's amazing when you're driving. You're minding your own business, doing fine. And there's a billboard, you think, what in the world am I thinking about that? Denny's or whatever, or this thing, or that thing. Right? I mean,
mean, it was just a glance. But it's that the thought, it distracted me. Right? Or something, you're driving along and you see something that reminds you. It just makes you angry. You see? Have that, we don't have that happen. That's the problem. If distractions and hindrances come about as a result of what you're looking at, it can lead you to be discouraged.
Yes.
You can be doing fine, riding along in your little car, and then here comes another. Just like the color you want, it's the same size, sheet, everything on it you want. You were doing fine until you saw that. All kinds of vehicles passing you, but you saw the one that you want. Right? Or you see this is the thing I want. This is the house I want. This is the career I want. You see, but the problem is that those are distracted. You start looking at the wrong thing, you're gonna lose focus.
Yeah.
You were doing fine. You were happy. You were thankful. Now you're discouraged. I was happy with my car 20 seconds ago. And now I'm discouraged. Something's wrong. See, that's the whole idea here.
And so, what you're looking at makes all the difference in the world. Okay? Makes all the difference. You remember
in, I think it's Matthew 14, when Jesus was praying and he sent the disciples out on the boat. You know, they were trying to cross. Lake, you remember that? Storm came up and they were out there struggling, trying to get through. And the Bible says, I thought about this, the Bible says in the fourth watch of the evening, I don't know what that is. Like in Hebrew, in Jewish time, you have the regular hours of the day, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., you know, to be considered one day. And then you have what's called watches. Like the first watch would be 6 p.m. to 9. Second watch would be 9 to 12. Third watch would be 12 a.m. to 1 a.m. The fourth watch would be what? 3-6. Think of this. Jesus and his disciples put in some long nights. It says it's in the what? Fourth watch of the night that they out there struggling and battling. And then, lo and behold, they see out in the middle of this storm what? Jesus walking out in the storm. Right? They were frightened initially until Jesus settled them down. You remember Peter says what? Lord, if it's you, let me come out there. Mm-hmm. And all it took was God. That's just Peter was a zealous dude.
Yeah.
And so at some time. But all it took was that he got out there and he was what? And he didn't even think about it. Jesus is out there, I'm going. He got out there and he's walking on water, but what happened? The Bible says he saw the what? The wind, the waves, and then he what?
That's
the point. But you look at it. See, he lost focus. And that's what's happening to all of us. You can be doing fine until something causes you to lose focus. I mean, you're in the middle of your storm, that's fine. You're doing good in your storm until you start looking around.
Yeah.
That's what he's getting at. Okay?
So, then the last issue is, as I said, what I call looking to Jesus. We're going to look at who he is and what he did. All right? And so as we begin, you see, Jesus is described in reference to our faith. Look at verse 2. Look into Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He is, and so the first thing that you and I have to do when we're going through our struggle, when we're having our time, and some of them are deep and tough, is to recognize the source. He's the source. My faith came from, I wouldn't be here if it weren't for him. Never would have made it. That's the song.
Right.
Never would have made it if it hadn't been for him.
Yeah.
And so I'm here because he brought me into the race.
Uh-huh.
Right? And so he's the source. And And so here's another, your translation may say originator and finisher, I don't know. But the point is this, that Jesus provides everything we need from beginning to what?
To end.
It's Him. He started it, and He'll give you everything you need to finish it.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Don't lose your focus. You were happy with Him when He saved you.
Mm-hmm.
You were happy with your old car and house when He saved you.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you go along with it for a little while, you're not happy with it now. You see?
Mm-hmm.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
You've lost your focus. He's the same as He was when He saved you.
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden is it not good enough now?
Mm-hmm.
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 Got it?
Yeah.
Don't lose your focus.
Mm-hmm.
Every good gift.
Come on.
All of it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't have it, old Tom, if it wasn't for
Him. Yeah. Yeah.
Remember how when I grew up, what's that song, This Old House? You remember that the song that talks about these bodies and called This Old House? You remember that old song, man? But you wouldn't have this old house if it wasn't for Him. Because you and I know the people came along with us, they didn't make it. That house got gone down or something. They're not with us anymore. But this old house made it this far because He's been with me.
Yeah.
So why stop fussing about it now? It was good enough before.
That's right.
You were messed when He saved you. So why all of a sudden now
is it a problem?
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Because I look at this one and they're doing another.
Yeah.
That's foolishness.
Yeah.
Lost your focus. Yeah. He, look at who He is. He's the same.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The same one that started it, He's going to finish it. And this is what it gets better. This is what I like. You see, you remember chapter 11? We looked at all these people, Noah and Abraham and Sarah and all. All those folks might inspire us to live by faith. But you know where they got their faith from?
They got their faith from Jesus.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So don't get hung up on Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham got his faith from the same place you get yours.
Amen.
Get it?
Yeah.
Abraham inspires me. But it's nothing like Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Nothing like Him. He's the author. He's the perfecter. He's everything I need from beginning to Him. He's the source of faith for everyone. So what's the point? Look at who He is. That's it. Keep your focus on who He is. Oh, Lord. Our Lord, what? How excellent is Your name. Keep your focus on Him.
Mm-hmm.
His name is above everything. It's a name above all names.
Come on.
Amen.
It's a name. He's the God of every God. There's none like Him.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Isaiah says, I'm God and there's no other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm God and there's none like me.
Yes.
Look at Him. Look at Him. Keep looking at Him, Christian. Keep looking at who He is. And then finally, I categorize the next part of it is to look at what He did. You see that little phrase, for the joy set before Him in verse 2? Jesus willingly submitted to the lifestyle that the Father chose for Him. See, Jesus is not asking you and me to do anything that He didn't do.
Mm.
Right? John 6, He says, I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to what? The will of Him to send me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know that. Right? And then there's a usual, we're so familiar with the prayer from Christ, not my will, remember 6 praying, and yet send me, not my will. But thine and yours be done, right? That's what He submitted.
Mm-hmm.
The Father has chosen for me. And so, he knew that His followers weren't prepared to handle that affront, right? So he waited until it was
the proper time to help them see more of God's will. He doesn't love the same way. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not ready for all that God will right now. So he brings you along. And don't start backing up because it reveals trouble.
Come on, bro.
If I'd known that, I never would have. You see? No, we can't do that. Okay. He's the same. This has always been the plan. Always been the plan. You just weren't ready for it. And now you don't think you are. But you are.
You can
win this. You can succeed.
Yes.
He never would have shown it to you if you weren't ready.
Amen.
You get it? Never would have.
He willingly submitted to rejection, slander, hatred. Remember all the false arrest, the false trial. He willingly submitted to all of the lies and all of the mocking. He willingly submitted to the scourging. And what did he submit to that? Not my will. What is it to be done? So why is it so tough for us to submit to? See, when just because he saved you and it was this way, it doesn't mean that's the way that the race was intended is going to end.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Come on.
Right?
And so Jesus knew. He said, I was born to die. I came into this world to die. Christian, you were born to die.
Amen.
Settle it. Stop fighting it. That's the world's perspective. You want to live forever. When you will, but not down here. Stop fighting it.
Come on, bro.
And stop fighting the lifestyle change that God may be bringing about. Whatever he gave, the lifestyle that he gave you, that means that's what it's going to be. Job had to learn that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And many others.
Yes.
Enjoy while you got it. Don't fight in. That's what slows you down in the race. As a matter of fact, that was good for you for a while.
Amen.
But the kind of the next phase of the race, you can't carry on.
Wow.
Even us older people recognize that. You know, when you're young, you all this big house and all this, and then you're like, I can't give up all this. I can't dust all this furniture. I can't do all that.
Right.
Amen. Fight it. God's will hadn't changed. It's just that you begin to see more.
Right.
And wisdom sets in.
Yes.
And you see. And then so I'm gonna enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Others looking around at it, they think so, okay, what is it? They don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this job that's in me, they didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
We can't take good of it.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You need to remember that, Christian. This house didn't give me my joy. Or this car. Or this paycheck. This medical plan, they give me my joy. Did that really drive me? That's where the world joy comes from.
Right.
But not joy.
Right?
That's easy to say.
But that's the deal. That's what we're learning. He willingly submitted. You see how it says to the shame and the cross? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He submitted and endured for the joy. Now, you may not have seen this before, but I'm going to take a few minutes and just explain these two terms. The word for here means in order to. You remember, I think I may have said this to you before. Let's say you're driving and you get pulled over because you're speeding. And you say, I got a ticket for speeding. Right? So I got a ticket be what? Because I was speeding. But now, I went to the barbershop for a haircut.
I didn't go to the barbershop because I have faith. I went to the barbershop in order what?
Yes.
So that's what you got here. The word for means in order to. Mm-hmm. Right?
In order. So he endured the shame in order to obtain the joy. You see? The joy was set before him. And so Jesus wasn't sadistic. He didn't just find joy in torture. No, he was looking beyond
the cross.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to do that. Count it all what?
Joy.
Yeah, as we encounter Christ. That don't mean you're crazy. That doesn't mean that you
say,
I want all these trials. No. God says the joy is on me.
Amen.
Well, yes, joy is in me.
Yes.
So count it joy while you're going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's all, the Bible says light, momentary. Won't be long. Everybody knows that?
Amen.
Everybody
Amen.
Won't be long for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was even for young people. Joy and nature. Right now, it doesn't seem like it's such a lot. I remember when I couldn't wait to share. I just wait to, just dream about it. And then all of a sudden it happens and you can't go back. Not only that, you want to be an adult, you want to be on the day you get out there, but can't go back. And so you enjoy where you are. Enjoy.
Amen.
Enjoy now.
Amen.
Joy, because that's the way God planned it. He wants us to have joy.
Amen.
And so he endured it in order to obtain the joy that was ordained in his future. So Jesus could look beyond that cross and see the resurrection. He could look beyond the cross and see the ascension and see the eternal glory, right? And that's the reason the Bible would tell you and me about heaven. My brother, my sister, this is just a few more days.
That's right.
You hear me? It really doesn't matter what's happening in St. Charles. I'm not trying to be glib.
But whatever they do, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to enjoy life because soon that'll all be over.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You won't be, nobody be caring about a building.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make that your life.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make that the motivation for you to obey God, to do what he's about to do. Can't do that. Go on and run your race.
Amen.
Go on and live your life.
Amen.
Because, be quite honest with you,
you don't know where that building is in the future anyway.
That's right.
Mm. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
You just got to enjoy whatever the Lord, whatever the race that is set before Trinity, mm-hmm. God says, run this way.
Yeah, that's right.
Not that one over there, that one over there.
That's right.
Run this way.
Right.
Despising the shame means that the shame in this world could not compare to the joy ahead. Nothing that they could do to Jesus could compare to what lied ahead of him. So that's the phrase is kind of it's not an oxymoron, but what it says is that he despised shame because the shame was so insignificant compared to the joy.
Amen.
That's what you and I have to remember. I know it doesn't. Now you know
what he went through was awful. It's worse. The Bible says it's worse than any human being has experienced.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't touch that. No way. No how. And if Jesus can say to you and me, I handle that. You can handle whatever. No temptation has overtaken you except that is what common to everybody
else.
You can handle.
Yes.
This is not a pep talk. This is the Bible.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
You can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You can find joy regardless
mm-hmm.
of whether your plans work out or not.
Mm-hmm.
You get this, Christian? Now again, Moses and Rahab and David might inspire us to live by faith. But Jesus is the perfect example of living by faith and trusting God the Father. Look at what he did. Look at who he is and look at what he did. Well, I took much, much longer than what expected, but let's kind of wrap things up. Close your Bibles and think with me for a minute now. So, brothers and sisters, the message from these two verses is fairly straightforward, clear. The Christian life is portrayed as a race, and we are exhorted to run the race with endurance, right? And so I need all of us to think about what we have studied today. Do you feel like you are growing and progressing in your Christian life? Only you. And I'm asking you to do a honest assessment between you and the Lord. Do you think that God is pleased with your growth and progress? And once you get done of doing your own assessment, now you have to leave that with God. Is he really pleased? Next question. Do you feel distracted in your Christian life? Do you feel stuck? You see. Do you feel hindered because of some of your serious problems? You feel hindered because you find yourself, you remember what we looked at Wednesday night, the Father said, Lord, what? I believe, but help my unbelief. Do you find yourself hindered because you're not doubting God. It's just that you got these areas you hadn't quite come to, haven't solidified in your life. The situation that I haven't settled into yet. So you see, with that Father, you said, Lord, I believe you, but I need help here. You find yourself stuck because of fear or worry about something that's happening in the future. You find yourself stuck because you can't let go of some grief. You've been hurt and you just... Now here's a... You say you can't let it go, but the Bible says you won't. So you're stuck. Are you hindered? Are you hindered because you just find yourself again and again, find discouragement everywhere I look? I just find myself discouraged. Or you find yourself stuck because you won't forgive someone. Or you may be on the other side of you, jealous. You won't say it, but that's in your heart. And you think you can go on and serve God when jealousy is right at the center of your thinking. If you find yourself distracted or hindered today, the text gives us called four remedies. You listening? Number one. The Holy Spirit will help you identify the distraction or the hindrance. Okay? Number two, the Holy Spirit will help you repent and break free from any distraction or hindrance. Number three, the Holy Spirit will help you willingly accept the lifestyle that God has chosen for you. Amen. And finally, the Holy Spirit will help you find real encouragement in the life of Jesus Christ, who is the perfect motivator. There is no motivator like Jesus. But the Spirit of God must help you be motivated by him. What are you saying, Brother Willie? Here's it. This is as clear as I can say it. God himself has chosen everyone's lot or everyone's lifestyle here. Your lifestyle is customized for you. And you are spiritually equipped to persevere to the end of your race or to the end of your life. My brother, my sister, it's all in you.
When God saved you, he put it in you. Mm-hmm. You, he began it, and he put in you what's necessary to finish. Mm-hmm. Stop talking yourself out of it. Mm-hmm. Therefore, wake up every day with the joy of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wake up every day thanking God that he brought you through another one. Wake up every day with anticipation of what might happen today. Wake up every day, not grumbling and complaining, but looking to him, calling to him. Wake up! Wake up! That's the whole Hebrews is writing to Christians, and he's saying, wake up. And I'm saying to you, my brother and sister, wake up today. There's real joy to be had in this life. Will you have it? Will you receive it? If you're not a Christian, you're not in the race yet. But you're never too old. You're never too young to get in this Christian race. You can get in the race right now. Right? You can get in the race today. You just believe in Jesus and be saved right now. Believe in Jesus and be set free right now. Believe in Jesus right now and start the race that ends in heaven. Only believe. Father, thank you for the mystery of your will and your way, and the blessing of knowing you and being kept by you. Thank you for choosing us to be yours, choosing the race that we should run, and then giving us everything necessary not only to finish the race, but to finish it with joy. So as we bow here today, Father, you know where every heart is. You know the situation in every life. You know where we are in our race, individually and collectively. We bow here this morning, asking you to search us, know our hearts, try us and know our anxious thoughts. And Lord, if you discover in us any grievous or evil way, please lead us in the everlasting way. We want to be holy. We want to be faithful. We want to finish our race with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise the Lord.